Good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to Wiggum Baptist Church to our worship service this morning. Just a few announcements, and then we'll open up with prayer and go right into our worship service. We had 19 in Sunday school this morning, so just want to remind everyone that we have classes for everyone, and would love for you to come and enjoy that time of studying God's Word and fellowship with us every Sunday morning. Please remember there's no p.m. service today. Spend time with your family and that. Standing in the Gap Men's Supper is made this Thursday, May the 16th at 7 p.m. Like to invite all the young men and boys to that that supper and time of fellowship and sharing God's Word. The other Tim has said that he has made up some special seasoning. I think we're going to have hamburgers, so if you don't come for anything else, come to try that seasoning, because I'm interested in it.
Brother Howard, we're going to leave some of yours, with salt and pepper on.
I'm sure it'll be delicious, so, but please get the word out for that, and we'd love to see the men and young men and boys, and that's Thursday night at 7 p.m. The Hope Room is in need of plastic containers. If you would like to donate, see Jan Hall or Sissy Ulmer. We need to restock the food pantry. I appreciate the ones well on the way of getting restocked. But we still need more items, so if you could bring non-perishable items, we would appreciate that. And don't forget to ask the preacher. What question would you like to ask? Write out your question the best you can using topic versus doctrine. Not a must, but write your name so he can get back in touch with you if he needs any clarification. I think there's a box on the back table there as you enter the church. You can put your questions in there. Please use that, because Brother Tim's plan is to use that to see what direction our teaching and preaching needs to go in. So if you've got any question, ask him. Make sure you get the right Tim, though. Please use that as a means to help Brother Tim and our ministry here at Wiggum Baptist Church. Any other announcements? Good. As we go into our prayer list, remember Grayson and Cassie and Gran and Sissy and all of that family. Sissy says that Grayson's improving, has made a big turnaround. And God is good. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do just give you all the praise this morning, Lord. We want to lift up all the ones that are on our prayer list, Lord. And we just thank you for the way that you look out after us and watch over us. That's what we studied in Sunday school with Joseph. This morning, Lord, let us always just be discerning and wise and understanding, Lord, like Joseph was. Even when he was in prison, Lord, he knew that you were with him, Lord. The scripture even says it. He found favor with you, Lord, and that's where we want to be, Lord, no matter what our circumstances are, Lord. Lord, we do want to just pray for this service this morning, Lord. We just want to lift it up to you, Lord. I want to lift up Brother Tim to you as he brings your word this morning, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that we have come and gathered together, Lord, in fellowship and worship, Lord, to worship Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. And I forgot birthday, so
you
want to
do it?
Do we have any birthdays here this morning? Anybody have a birthday on Mother's Day? So thankful for my mother. Thankful to our Lord for my mother. And I'm sure you are. And my wife's not here this morning, and I'm thankful for her, but she's with her sister. They get together this time of year since they lost her mother. They lost her mother around this time of year, so they try to get together and spend some time, so that's good for them. But yeah, it's just so good to have a day that we can honor our mothers too. If you can this morning, I'm getting my ADD's getting ahead of me. Birthdays. Do we have any birthdays here?
You just said that.
I said that, but we have some more walking in. Okay. If you can this morning, please stand as we sing, "Lord, I lift your name on high," and sing real loud and smile.
Thank you.
346 will be our offertory hymn. And we'll sing all four verses. You might not need the hymnal for this song, or hymn, I should say. I think it'll be, oh yeah, he's got the whole world in his hands.
Sisters or your cousins, amen. All the ladies, I want you to stand up. Y'all guys, let's give them a hand. This time, I want you to remain standing. I'm going to have these guys and girls, they're going to give each one of you ladies a rose or a little hanging ornament. And so, Do we have enough motion? We basically have both of them. Okay, didn't do both of them for each one. I didn't count all of them to see. Well, we do want to honor all the moms this morning, and as the people passing out these gifts, we are thankful to all the mothers, all the women in our lives who have helped raise us and shape us, because moms are special, amen? And as I thought about this week and want to preach on, I thought about how mothers leave a lasting impression on us, right? If they didn't get our attention looking at us in the face, they get our attention by a belt on the backside, amen? They would leave their impression on you one way or the other. But I want today to look at three passages. But I want to look at three different instances of a mother's impact on her children. Because our mothers spend a lot of time raising us from the time we're born, feeding us, changing us, teaching us the do's and don'ts about math and English and science and social studies. They teach us about the issues of life and everything else that go on. And so mothers are important. But a mother can also have a good impact on us, or they can have a negative impact on us. So we have to, as mothers and as fathers, I know this is Mother's Day, but as mothers and fathers, we have to determine ahead of time what impact we're going to have on our kids. Because if you wait till you're in the middle of the battle, you've already lost. You got to start ahead. You got to start from the time your child is born, raising them up to know and to honor God. And you do that not only by showing up on Sunday. Because I can tell you this, if the only day God's important to you on Sunday, your children aren't going to go to church on Sunday. Can I get an amen? If that's the only time you spend with the Lord is on Sunday, you've already taught your kids that God is not important to you. You got to teach your children God Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and you got to start all over again on Monday. It never stops. Just like being a mother, you never stop being a mother, do you? You don't. And just as that is true, our job as parents never end, not even when they get grown and get up out of the house. There are still those opportunities to make a godly impression on our children's life. I want to start this morning by looking at a man whose name was Ahaziah. His mother left a wicked impression on him. In 2 Chronicles chapter 22, listen to what the scripture says. It says, "Then the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, his youngest son, king in his place, for the raiders who came with the Arabians into the camp had killed all the older sons. So Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, reigned. Ahaziah was 42 years old when he became king, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother advised him to do wickedly. Therefore he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction." We pray with me. Heavenly Father, as we have read your word, and as we will read more in just a minute, Lord, I pray that you bless the reading of it. Lord, I don't particularly know of any parent, any mother who would advise their children to do wickedly. Lord, that's not our intent. But Lord, sometimes the words we use, the actions we take, the tempers that we have, Lord, show us something other than what you would have us to show. And so, Lord, today I pray that you would convict where convicting is needed. God, I pray that you would cause celebration, Lord, where we have made the right decision, where we have shown the right heart and right attitude. Lord, I pray that you have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Ahaziah's mom taught him to do wickedly. You know, it is one thing to do everything right, to try to raise your children the best you can, and when they get up, get grown, get out on their own, they go and do their own thing. Because I'm sure some of us here today, including myself, you were raised right, but when you got to your teenage years, you didn't want to listen to mama, you didn't want to listen to daddy, and you wanted to go and do your own thing. Can I get a witness? We've been down that road, and we have chosen to do what is wrong. But for a mother or a father to teach their children to do wickedly is beyond my comprehension, because I've always wanted my children to be good people, to be people who contribute to society, who help others in times of need. Who reach out, and even when somebody does you wrong, you still try to do what's right. That is how we try to teach our children. But this mother taught her son to do wickedly. Now, sometimes we say, well, we're doing the right thing. But, you know, we have parents today who would take their daughters at the age of 14 and 15 down to the health department to get birth control. And they said, well, I'm just trying to keep my kid from getting some kind of STD. Can I tell you, that's not teaching them the right thing. The right thing to teach them is abstinence. Amen? Until they are married. Now, I know in today's society, we don't like to hear that. But anything outside of marriage is either adultery or fornication. And the Bible clearly calls those sins. So, we say, well, I'm not teaching my kid to do wickedly, but are you? Are you really teaching them? What about this? I've known people in church that would even say, well, you know, it's prom season, graduation's coming up. I know my kid's gonna drink, so I would rather them, instead of drinking off where I don't know where they are, I'd rather buy it for them and have them come here. I've known parents to do that. Have drinking parties at their own house just so they can keep an eye on their kid. Now what are we teaching our kid? Here again, abstinence is the best policy. But then we also have the thing that happens probably more so in every household, whether you're a Christian or non-Christian, is that we sit in front of a thing that's called a TV. And the shows you watch are feeding right into your children's minds. Amen? If you don't believe me, a big light's watching Miss Rachel. It drives me crazy, but she loves it, amen? But they take in everything, even when you think they're not listening, they still listen. And so we got to be careful what we allow in our homes. We have to protect our children at all costs. So Ahaziah's mother left a bad impression, but I want us to look at Proverbs 31. And we're not going to look at the virtuous wife right here. We're going to look at Lemuel's mother's advice to her son. And this is what it says here. It says, the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother did what? Taught him. What, my son, and what, son of my womb, and what, son of my vows, do not give your strength to women nor your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. You know what that sounds like to me? It sounds like Lemuel's mother wanted him to live a godly life. She wanted him to know what was right from what was wrong, and she encouraged him not to go out and get drunk. Not to go give himself to women, because that wasn't the right path to go down. He needed to know what was right so that he could judge righteously and judge in God's ways, not in the world's. Not to pervert justice when it was due. But oftentimes when people drink, their judgment is clouded. She wanted him have a sober mind, a mind that could discern good from evil. So we see an example of a mother who taught her son to do wickedly. We saw another mother, Lemuel's mother, who taught her son to do righteously. Now, the reality is, it's not just mom's job. Can I get amen, men? It's not mom's, not totally her job. It is father's responsibility also. Not just mom's. And we as men should be ashamed, because probably for most of us, and for our parents, and maybe our parents before them, look around you. I'm not knocking men at all, so please don't take it this way. But there's twice as many women here as there are men. Because somewhere down the road, we men thought that it's not important for us to raise our children to be godly. We're going to let mama do that. Can I tell you that is unbiblical as it can possibly be? It is daddy's responsibility to raise his children up. Yes, with the help of mom. Amen? The two shall become one. And they shall teach their children to do what is right. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, I want us to look at the primary responsibility that God gave to the parents when he was given law. Now, I didn't have a put verse 5 up there, but I want to read verse 5 to you real quick. Listen to what it says. Verse 5 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." That is the first thing we as parents should start teaching our children. What is wrong with saying Jesus loves me to your kid instead of baby bop or whatever they call it? Little shark, I don't know. I don't even know what those are. Our job is to teach our children to love God. You can tell your child to love God, but if you don't show them, they won't know how. Did you hear me? I can tell you to love God, but how is that lived out? Because if our words are the only thing we say, and if we say we love, love is an action word, it is a verb. How do you and I live that out in front of our children? Well, I don't think the Lord gives us reason to question how we're supposed to show that. Listen to what he goes on to say. He says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." How can you get it in your heart if you're not reading it with your eyes or hearing it with your ears? It's got to be put in there, right? "You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hands, and they shall be as frontlet between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Here's the thing, what I'm saying. If the only time that God is important to you is on a Sunday morning, then you're teaching your children to live like the devil the rest of the week, pretty much. Have your way. Go your way. Do your own thing. It's okay. Just come back and worship God on Sunday. Well, God's telling us here in Deuteronomy that wherever we are, whatever we're doing, wherever we're going, we are to speak of God and his word. How are we communicating God to our children? Because if we're not communicating God to our children, the world can't wait to show them the devil. He's ready to teach. You might say, "Well, I don't have time." Well, the devil's got plenty of time to take your children to the wrong place. So are we willing to give up on our children? Say, "Well, just let the world teach them, let the world have the way." Can I tell you this? This is, it's sad, but it's true. My church in Alabama that we were at for almost 5 years, there was a couple, I won't call the names. There was a couple who had a young daughter. She was 6 years old. And for a couple Sundays in a row, she wasn't with them when they were coming. And so I asked them about her, you know, thinking maybe she'd been sick or whatever. And they said, "No, she didn't want to come." 6 years old, man. And I said, "Well, you don't think it's important for her to be in church?" "Oh, we thought we'd just let her find her own way. They'll take her to school every day, but they won't bring her to church." Now, if you want to just say, "Okay, devil, here's my child," then go ahead and do it. But if you're not teaching them, and can I put a side spoon in here? Sunday, and the preacher and the Sunday school teacher is not where your children are supposed to get their primary instruction about God. That is in the home, not necessarily in the church. The church should be reinforcing what you're doing at home with your children. We believe a righteous impression It's demanded by God. In Deuteronomy, it says that we are to diligently teach them. In other words, we are to be intentional about what we teach our children about God. We're to be intentional about it. Because if we're not intentional, it won't get done. And it's not primarily the pastor's responsibility or the Sunday school teacher's responsibility. I want us to think about this as we begin to wrap up. Paul was going around from churches to churches in the book of Acts. In chapter 16, verse 1, I want to read this. It says, "Then he," meaning Paul, "came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was a Greek," or was Greek. You say, what does that tell us? That tells us that Timothy was a fine, upstanding man, a Christian man. His mother was a believer. She was a Jew, but she had married a Greek that most likely was not a believer, okay? Most likely, because it clearly makes the distinction between a mother who was a believer and a father who was a Greek. Now, as we look at this, we realize that there was a man named Timothy. And when Paul met him, one of the first things he realized about Timothy was where he came from and what his background was. He wasn't who we would look at to lead our nation or our church, because he, in our society today, we'd say he was mixed. He was from two different backgrounds, Jews and Greeks. And that's a struggle on its own. But Paul realized there was something about this young man. Here again, I know this is Mother's Day. But man, we've got to do our part. Listen to me. Just because Timothy's mom was a believer, and most likely his father was not a believer, that did not stop his grandmother and his mama from raising him right. Amen? It did not stop his mother and grandmother from teaching this young man about God. Now, if you look on down in the book of Acts, chapter 1, I'm just going to quote this for you because I'm not sure I have it on the screen. When you look at the second part of that, it tells us in Acts 16:2 that he was well, talking about Timothy, he was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. In other words, he was raised by his mother and his grandmother to be a fine Christian young man. He didn't just show it in church. He lived it in the community. Amen? He lived it out as he went through it. He was spoken of well by all who knew him. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want us to look at this. And this is Paul's letter to Timothy, and he's encouraging him to keep on keeping on, to stick to what he had learned, because it is important for us to teach our children when they're little, because if you wait till the teenagers, you waited too long. Not saying God can't move in them, but it is harder to move them in their hearts after a certain age. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 14, this is what Paul says. He says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned." Where did he learn? Mama and grandma. and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, the way I can see it, Lois and Eunice did not wait for the world to teach their son a grandson. They didn't wait for daddy to come around to do what was right. They took their young son, young grandson, and began to teach him about the things of God, how he should live, how he should speak, how he should walk, how he should love, how he should look out for the interest of others as along with his own interest. They taught him from a very early age, but they also taught him about salvation. Amen? They taught him about salvation. Why we've got Vacation Bible School coming up in a month. Can you believe that already? We've got it coming up in a month. And listen, folks, you say, why do we do Vacation Bible School? Because unfortunately we live in a world today where not every parent is a believer. Where not every parent believes that it's important to be in church. Not every parent believes that it's their responsibility to have to train their children and teach them, their children, about the things of God. And so we as a church can come together and say, listen, maybe it's only for a couple hours a day, for a few days a week, once a year. But at least we've got that time that we can pour the love of Christ, the teaching of God's word, into their lives. And hope and pray that children will hear the word of God, but they'll also realize that they can have salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. But it's got to start somewhere. It starts with us. It starts with parents teaching their children. I don't know about you, but as a parent, I wanted to make a lasting impression on my kids. Did I do everything right? By far. Sometimes, though, you say, well, you know, preacher, I've heard of kids, I've known kids, maybe I am a kid who grew up, they knew what was right from wrong, and they decided to run from God. I did. Not proud of it. God has a way of getting your attention. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 22, verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way he or she should go. And when he is old or she is old, he or she will not depart from it. You say, well, you know, what about that? Maybe you've raised your kid and they're running from God now. And I tell you, don't stop praying for them. Keep on praying for them. Keep on loving them. Keep on teaching them God. Teach them love through your deeds and your actions. Keep on praying for them and believing that God can change. Because here is the reality. You can train your child to do everything right, but there comes a point in time in their life where they're going to fly on their own. You could show them what to do, how to do it, where to do it, but sometimes us hard-headed folks got to make our own way, and we got to hit the ground on our own. The problem with Proverbs, I say it's a problem, it's not. Proverbs are not a promise, okay? They are a premise. And you say, well, what's the difference? Well, a promise means it's going to happen. And a premise is it's more likely to happen. So what the Proverbs, what the Solomon is saying here is to listen. When you do your part in training up a child in the way he should go, then the most logical reality is that child is going to stay in the faith. Amen? They're going to stay there because, listen, children learn what they... Come on, y'all help me. Children learn what they live, right? They learn what they live. So if they've got a mama who is loving God with all her heart, mind, soul, and strength, they've got a daddy loving God with all his heart, mind, and strength, as those two grow together in their faith toward God, they are growing closer together themselves. Amen? And when little Johnny and little Susie come along and they see and watch mama and daddy and what they're doing and what they're saying and how they're living, then they most likely are going to say, it was real to my mom and daddy, and I want it to be real to me. That's what we want as parents, isn't it? We want children who are going to follow the Lord, who are going to, they're going to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation, and they're going to try their very best to live for God every day of their lives. But with that, we realize that there are decisions we have to make in the here and now as parents to leave an impression on our children. But the question I want to leave us with this morning is, listen, you're leaving an impression on your children whether you want to or not. You're either leading them to God or you're leading them away from God. Mamas and daddies. You're leading them to the Lord or you're leading them away from the Lord by what you do, what you say, where you go, where you don't go. You're showing them something, some way of living. You're leaving a impression on them. But what kind of impression is it? Are you like Ahaziah's mom who left a wicked impression on him to his own destruction? Are you leaving a godly impression like Lemuel's mother who says, son, I want you to do what is right. Don't chase after women. Don't be chasing after alcohol and all that stuff that's going to leave you empty. Do what is right. Judge what is right. Take the right steps. Do the right thing. Timothy's mother and grandmother didn't leave it to chance. They said, listen, we're going to teach him from the time he'll sit down, which ain't very often, amen, we're a little kid. From the time he'll listen, we're going to teach him about God. We're going to teach him about God's love and what's right with God and what's wrong with God. What is our choice today? What is your choice, moms and dads? What is our choice? Because you are teaching your child something. What are you teaching them? If you've never trusted the Lord as your personal Savior, I invite you to this morning when the invitation is given. As soon as the songs start playing, the sis start playing, come forward. Say, well, I don't know how to be saved. I'll do my best to show you how you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But listen to me. Maybe as I've been speaking, you've been going over things in your head. Maybe past from your child raising days. Maybe there was something you didn't do right. Can I tell you there's forgiveness in God? There is forgiveness. But we've got to confess those sins. And we got to turn to the Lord. And as we turn to the Lord, we need to seek out forgiveness from those who we've wronged. And maybe that's where we're at today. Maybe we just need to come alongside our kids and say, listen, I know I didn't do everything right. I want you to forgive me. And I want to start being the mama or the daddy that I should have been all along. Amen. Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, as we go in this time of invitation, Lord, what better day than to get our homes and our families back on the right path. Lord, for the one who has never trusted you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, you are the first need of forgiveness that we have, the forgiveness of our sins. But then, Lord, we realize too that Lord, there are many here today who have trusted you as their Lord and Savior. But Lord, maybe we just haven't done the right things. Maybe our priorities have not been in the right place. Maybe we have not been intentional about our faith and leaving our faith with our children, making that lasting impression on them, a godly impression. Lord, whatever decisions need to be made today, I pray that we would make them in a way that honors and glorifies you. Lord, help us to be leaving good impressions on our families. I pray it today in Jesus' name. Amen.